Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 15. Jugupsitam,
Jugupsitam,
Dharmakrite,
Dharmakrite,
Anushasata,
Anushasata,
Svabhava,
Svabhava,
Raktasya,
Raktasya,
Mahan,
Mahan,
Vyatikrama,
Vyatikrama,
Yat,
Yat,
Vakyata,
Vakyata,
Dharma,
Dharma,
Iti,
Iti,
Itara,
Itara,
Stitaha,
Stitaha,
Na,
Na,
Manyate,
Manyate,
Tasya,
Tasya,
Nivaranam,
Nivaranam,
Janaha,
Janaha,
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasata sobhavaraktasya mahan vyatikrama yadvakyato dharma iti tarastito namanyate tasya nivaranam jana. Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasata svabhavaraktasya mahan vyatikrama yadvakyato dharma iti tarastito namanyate tasya nivaranam jana. Jugupsitam,
Jugupsitam,
verily condemned,
verily condemned,
dharmakrite,
dharmakrite,
for the matter of religion,
for the matter of religion,
Anushasata,
Anushasata,
instruction,
instruction,
Svabhavaraktasya,
Svabhavaraktasya,
naturally inclined,
naturally inclined,
Mahan,
Mahan,
great,
great,
Vyatikrama,
Vyatikrama,
unreasonable,
unreasonable,
Yat Vakyata,
Yatvakyata,
under whose instruction,
under whose instruction,
Dharma,
Dharma,
religion,
religion,
Iti,
Iti,
it is thus,
it is thus,
Itara,
Itara,
the people in general,
the people in general,
Stitaha,
Stitaha,
fixed,
fixed,
Na,
Na,
do not,
do not,
Manyate,
Manyate,
think,
think,
Tasya,
Tasya,
of that,
of that,
Nivaranam,
Nivaranam,
prohibition,
prohibition,
Janaha,
Janaha,
they,
they.
Translation: the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Please repeat. The people in general,
people in general,
are naturally inclined to enjoy.
Naturally inclined to enjoy.
And you have encouraged them in that way.
And you have encouraged them in that
way. In the name of religion.
In the name of religion.
This is verily condemned.
This is verily condemned.
And is quite unreasonable.
And it is quite unreasonable.
Because they are guided under your instructions.
Because they are guided under your instructions.
They will accept such activities.
They will accept such activities.
In the name of religion.
In the name of religion.
and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Water. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literature is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination, by practice, to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of the responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home. To revolve in the cycle of transmigration in a series of lives numbering 8,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned soul. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life, and as such, the only occupation of the human being is to reestablish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc. And his encouragement and sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, such as sacrificing animals in the name of yajna, were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narada, and therefore he condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters still continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literatures, such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten, and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. So, Narada continues his analysis of the defects of other Vedic literatures and of the necessity for Srimad Bhagavatam. And he advises Vyas that by prescribing religious functions which allow for sense gratification, he has actually encouraged people further into sense gratification. The human form of life is especially meant for realizing God and becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. to assist the human being in the progressive journey back home, back to Godhead, is the greatest service. And to divert the attention of the living entity from the ultimate good of self-realization to the animalistic pursuit of sense gratification is the biggest disservice. And therefore, Srila Naradadeva says that to encourage the people in sense gratification is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. The actual purpose of Vedic sacrifices is to curb the living entity's desire for sense gratification. Because, for example, in the case of eating meat, the Vedas prescribe that one can offer a goat to the goddess Kali on the dark moonlight night. One must personally slaughter the animal in the temple, and by creating so many conditions, the Vedas actually attempt to discourage the eating of meat, the killing of animals, and the eating of meat. But gradually, as Srinarda predicted, people will forget the prohibitions that one may not eat meat on other nights, but only on the dark moon night. One may not just, slaughter the animal and take the flesh, but one must offer the animal in sacrifice to some demigod or goddess in the temple. So as Srinarda predicted, people will gradually forget about their prohibitions, and they'll only remember that the Vedas say that one can eat meat, and then they will eat meat and become further implicated in sinful actions and reactions, and thus miss the most valuable opportunity afforded by the human form of life to go back home, back to Godhead. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population. But it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like the Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects, along with material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender unto Him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to partake partially what he should not take at all. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitive work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. Those who are in the devotional line need not be always so advised. Translation again. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibition. So the example given in the purport of the diseased patient is very appropriate. The diseased patient is inclined to eat food which will actually be harmful to him. And the sincere doctor will prohibit the patient from eating such food. Although the patient does not like such prohibitions, but if he wants to recover from his disease, he must follow them. So we are all in the diseased condition of material life. The symptom of the disease is that we are encapsulated in the physical body, which is subject to repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. So if we want to become free from the disease and concomitant miseries of the material body, we must follow the doctor's instructions. And the supreme doctor is Lord Krishna, who gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And Shukadev Goswami is another doctor who gives prescriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narada advises Vyasa that he should not compromise. If some food is bad for a patient, why should the doctor allow him to have the food in small quantities? Because the small quantities will be harmful also. Why not just prohibit the harmful food? So in the same way, Vyas, by allowing for sense gratification, even though in a more limited way, he is ultimately allowing people to indulge in sense gratification, which will divert them from their real purpose of self-realization. It may be that someone who is completely preoccupied with false renunciation or artificial renunciation should be encouraged to perform regulated fruitive work, because at least he'll platform and be able to make gradual progress. But if someone has the opportunity to take to pure devotional service, then he should not at all be encouraged to engage in any type of fruitive work or mental speculation. But he should be encouraged to engage simply in devotional service. And most people can be encouraged directly in devotional service, and therefore Srila Prabhupada has made the main propaganda for the Krishna consciousness movement to be books like the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which appeal directly to people's sense of devotional service, and does not lead them on any sort of indirect route through regulative, fruitive activities. So, even in other religious traditions, we find the same thing. Originally, Catholics abstained from meat on Friday. It was a discipline that they would abstain from meat on Friday. And the fact that they would abstain from meat indicates that meat is bad. Actually, if to abstain from meat is good, then why only on Friday? Why not on the other days? But anyway, at least the principle was there to abstain on Friday. But gradually, people's clamor for sense gratification increased, and they didn't want to simply, you know, fast from meat completely, fast from flesh. So then they made a compromise that they would only eat fish, but they wouldn't eat other types of flesh. So that continued. I remember when I was in college, the cafeteria or the dining hall at the university would always serve fish on Friday out of deference to the Catholics, who wouldn't eat other types of flesh on Friday. And now I understand they don't even think of it. They eat whatever they want on Friday. The whole idea of discipline and regulation and renunciation of sense gratification is forgotten. So the same tendency is there everywhere, that people will want more and more sense gratification. Their senses will demand more and more gratification. And therefore it's better to curb the desire for sense gratification from the beginning. Because once the senses get the taste for sense gratification, then they will want more. Therefore, the Bhagavatam gives the example of the itch. The demands of the senses are like itches. And if we try to meet the demands of the senses by allowing them to indulge in sense gratification, they will not be satisfied. Temporarily, they might be somewhat satisfied. But then again, they will want more. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that you cannot extinguish a fire by pouring ghee on it. Yes, if you pour ghee on a fire, temporarily it may go down, but then it will come back and burn even more strongly than before. So similarly, if we try to satisfy the demands of the senses by allowing the senses some sense gratification, although temporarily for a short while the senses may be somewhat pacified, but soon enough they will be back again and clamor for more gratification. Therefore, the Bhagavatam advises that one should tolerate the demands of the senses. Prahlad Maharaj gives the example of itches, that the demands of the senses are like itches. And if we try to relieve the itch by scratching, again, although temporarily there might be a little relief, but then the itch will come back worse. So the best course is just to tolerate the itch. So similarly with the demands of the senses, sex, desire, and all of the demands of all of the senses, the best course is to tolerate. Tolerate an itch, gradually it will subside. So similarly, if we tolerate the demands of the senses, the demands will also reduce. And on the positive side, chant Hare Krishna, hear the pastimes of the Lord, cleanse the heart and develop the higher taste for Krishna consciousness. Then when one is fixed in the higher taste for Krishna consciousness, will no longer be allured by the attractions of the senses.